So tonight's theme is going to be on the universal call to holiness. It's a month later than I planned because of COVID, but here we are. Father Aaron and I were having a lively debate, you might say, one evening, and that's where this talk came out of. If you've listened to Father Jungi's preaching or seen his artwork or anything else, he loves the saints, and he's always talking about the saints, and I give him a hard time for always talking about the saints, and he's like, I don't understand why you don't like it. And I said, I like the saints. I just don't agree with the emphasis on them, because our call to holiness is different. And I think sometimes we can get too caught up in a, like a celebrity cult of personality kind of thing, whether it's with a saint or a politician or, you know, kids in the basketball-y people or whatever they're called. We start living somebody else's life. And we see it all the time on Twitter and TikTok and all these other things where we get so caught up in what they're doing. We try to look like them. We got to go to take a picture of them to get our hair cut so we look like them and we dress like them and all of these things. And that's one of my fears with, one of my concerns with overly preaching on the saints. It's because you're not called to be St. Peter. You're not called to be St. Clair. God wants you to be a saint in your own right. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, that universal call to holiness. And Father Aaron's not wrong. The saints are wonderful people, and I have my favorite saints, and I've got an icon I've commissioned on order right now anyway, but saints are good. But we can't make it all about them to the point where we stop applying it to our life. So Pope Francis actually wrote an excellent apostolic exhortation, Gaudete et Exultate, on the universal call to holiness that I would recommend for your reading at some point. But, you know, we all have a vocation. We all have several vocations. Our first vocation, our call, is to become a saint, to live a holy life and be with Jesus Christ forever in the heavenly kingdom. That's first. How you live that out, though, is different. Then we have that lower category of vocations, which is how you live it out. There's religious life, the dedicated single life, priesthood, married life. Those are particular ways of living out your vocation. But in every time and place, it will be different. And every single person is called to be a saint in a different way. And I think the first part of looking at our call to be holy is looking at the miracle of God's creation. There is not a single person exactly like you anywhere in the world. Even if you have a twin, you are different people. God has given you unique gifts and talents. He has placed you in circumstances that nobody else is in, and that's where we're called to be holy. And so we look at the lives of the saints, and they are good examples, and they're all so different. You have Blessed Carlo Acutis, who's making websites about Eucharistic miracles. You have St. Clair, who's actually taking the Eucharist out in the street to drive out invaders. You have St. Peter, who can't seem to get it through his head no matter how many times Jesus says it, and he has to keep being reminded to the point where Jesus sends him back into Rome to get crucified. All of them are different. They all had different gifts, different talents, different problems of their age, and they all were holy. And I think that's something we need to think about a little bit more. Jesus gives us the principles, but it's up to us to apply them to our time and circumstances. It wouldn't do much good for me to go out preaching against Arianism. Not a whole lot of Arians still around, where it's a big thing that needs to be dealt with. I'm called to preach to this community in this time and place with the struggles that we're facing now. That's part of my call. Parents, loving your kids in the craziness of their lives is your call. And your kids are different than other kids, and their craziness is different than other kids. And so we have to take those gospel principles and make them our own. You know, it's like with anything else. The best basketball player, football player, whatever, they learn the fundamentals, but they apply them in the game, right? In their way, using their skill set. Some of them they might not be good at. You know, I'm not a football-y person, so I don't know who's throwing and running and all these things anymore. But some people are really bad at throwing, even as quarterbacks, and they just run the ball all the time. They know it's not their gift. They know their team member can't catch to save his life. It's like putting Father Aaron out there and hoping he'll catch something. It's not going to happen. So you don't throw it to him. You know, the circumstances of our lives matter. One of the best spiritual works, I think, is called Abandonment to Divine Providence, that talks about those little ways that we're called to love each day. And, you know, all of us are called to be holy. All of us are called to love, to be just, to apply the gospel principles. But it's not just in, like, the big picture, right? Think of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little way that she did. She longed to be a priest at times, knowing that it wasn't her calling. And she found such joy in being able to be a sacristan, to prepare the vessels for Mass, to be touching the corporal on which the body of Christ sat. Her longings and desires were for something that was not her vocation. But in little ways in her own vocation, she found a way to make it possible. She's a patron saint of missionaries, and she's a cloistered nun. Love that one. She spent her life praying and corresponding with missionaries throughout the world, supporting their mission, even though she wasn't the one out there preaching and baptizing people. She, in her own way, supported it. And I think these stories should inspire us to look at our own lives and say, what are the circumstances that God has placed in my life here and now that I'm called to respond to? Nobody else is going to face them. Nobody else is going to encounter the same people you are. Nobody else is going to have the same challenges in the same way you are. So we have to, first of all, know Christ. You got to know the principles. You got to know the fundamentals. You got to be able to dribble and to shoot and to know what a reach is. And that's why I never played basketball, because I couldn't get those things down. We need to know what Christ asks of us. We need to know that we're called to forgive, to love, to serve him above all else, to give without counting the cost, to bear our crosses. We have to be in touch first and foremost with Jesus Christ. Another spiritual work that I love is called The Soul of the Apostolate, that talks about that balance of prayer and work. And I recommended it to somebody, and they said, yeah, if I was a 15th century priest, that would be great. So it is a little dated and specific, but I think it applies to all of us. None of our vocations function without that personal connection with Jesus Christ. We have got to start with Scripture, with prayer, with the sacraments. Those are essential. They keep us rooted and focused and able to do what God asks of us. But beyond that, humility. This litany that we prayed tonight is so wonderful. That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. That others may be praised and preferred. And that's what a saint does, is humbly do what God asks of him. Not what he wants to be doing or what somebody else is given. What is God asking of you? And this is honestly the best part of priesthood, that whole obedience thing. I don't have to worry about it, because the archbishop's going to say, you go here. You do this. This is what you're called to do. And I love it. But it's not always so easy for other people. It's not even easy for priests either. Sometimes we don't know why we're put there or what to do in particular circumstances. But that's where the rubber meets the road in becoming holy. What is God asking of me here and now? Not jealous of somebody else's gifts and talents or the circumstances that they have. If we want to be saints, we only become saints in reality. Past is gone, future is not here. God is the creator of every moment that we're given, and he has placed us in this reality. And so if we want to be a saint, we need to live in that reality. Jealousy, fantasy, wishing I was somebody else, having dreams of grand futures, that doesn't help us become holy. In fact, often it distracts us. God will place the little cross in your life to help you detach here and now, if only you're paying attention to it, instead of thinking what you'd like to be doing a year from now or 5 weeks from now. If we can be attentive to those things here and now, God uses this moment to make us holier. I was It's one thing I get frustrated with about this. This is really recognizable out in the community, this collar thing. And family events can often be challenging. My sister got married three years ago or so. And I did the wedding, and my family's in Connecticut and Alabama, so we're never together. And I was just looking forward at the reception. I want to see my family. I want to hang out with them, catch up with them. But I'm a priest and very recognizable. And there were some people I'd never met before at the wedding reception, and they wanted to talk. And it's like, oh, this is the last thing I want to do right now. But who did God put in my life in that moment? A Polish National Catholic priest who left the church who wanted to discuss ministry and was a chance for us to try and come to some common understanding. A slightly inebriated gentleman of Hindu religion who wanted to talk comparative religions and what the Christian faith was all about. Not what I really wanted to be doing at the moment, but they were good conversations. They did bear fruit. They opened up a door to dialogue with that individual. And there are so many moments of that as a priest that I've seen. You know, driving home from Dyersville one night, my first assignment from Dyersville to Earlville, where I was living in the rectory. There's about two routes you can take. I took one of them, and it just so happened that there was a massive car accident. And I was able to pray with them, be there for the first responders, go back to the fire station with them. I didn't have to stop. You know, I could have taken the other route. I never would have seen it. It just so happened that I was there at that time. And I put aside the plan for dinner because I'd just gotten groceries and pulled over, got out, and I was needed at that moment. Not much I could do for the person who'd been deceased, but for the firemen who'd witnessed what had happened and were working the scenes, they were shaken. They'd never seen anything like this. To be able to go back and be there and support them in that, those are those little moments that pass us by all too often. Could have said, I'm tired, it's an accident, I just want to stay out of the way, there's no reason for me to be there. But that was what God is asking of me at that moment. And I think each and every day, we make excuses for things like that all the time. You know, look at the commandments. Honor your mother and father. I live in Cedar Rapids, about 10 minutes away from my parents, and I don't see them nearly as much as I should. They saw me just as much when I was in Tama as they do now that I'm here in town. I should probably do a better job, but I can always find a reason. I'm tired. I've got a full schedule. It's just busy. No, I just need to do it. How many of us put off calling someone that we know, you know, our grandparents maybe, our parents? They're lonely. They like to talk. You know it's going to take a half hour even when you only got 5 minutes. But we can. And we say, not right now. Those are those little moments of holiness that help us to grow. Those are what you can do that no one else can do. And God has placed you to be there for that person. And I think that's such an incredible thing. Not only did God make us unique, but our road to holiness is going to be unique. Not another person can do what you can do, because of who you are and the time and circumstances in which God has placed you. And so we see that in the saints, right? We see them combating different heresies. We see them dealing with different problems of the day. Catherine of Siena calling out the Pope to actually get back to Rome where he belonged in the first place. And you wouldn't think she would be the one. Peasant girl who can hardly read is calling out the Pope. But yet, God put her there in the right circumstances to be able to do that. And I think we often downplay ourselves, right? Because we can look at the saints and see how great they are. And they were, but the ones we hear about are often the ones levitating and bilocating and doing miracles and all these other things. Some of the blesseds, I think, are even better examples. They're not quite there yet. They're on the way. Venerable Matt Talbot would be one to look at. Alcoholic dock worker who gave up drinking and lived a quiet life of austerity, prayer, and serving the poor. And nobody knew it till he died. I mean, he was just a humble guy. And when they finally looked at his life, they're like, this guy was holy. And he struggled. And he's an example for us to follow. I think instead of looking at some saints like Francis of Assisi, the stigmatics and all these miraculous things that, that's the sign of holiness. Father Aaron and I often get the line, you can't bilocate yet because our schedules are a little full. No, I can't. But most saints couldn't. Never did. Most saints were just regular people meeting the poor. Think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I am moved by her a lot because she didn't have those things. In fact, she had almost a 40-year period of desolation where she didn't feel like God was speaking to her in prayer. There weren't miracles happening, but she knew what she had to do. She knew the gospel message. She knew that the poor needed to be loved, and she knew she couldn't do it without prayer, even when it was hard, even when she didn't feel like she was receiving what she wanted from prayer. That's a simple, humble woman who did amazing things as an act of the will. The act of the will is always where we love from. Our world today likes to talk about appetites, desires, and I think that's some of the disordered affection sometimes of looking at saints and wishing, I wish I was like them. I wish I got a cool habit like that saint, or I wish I could bilocate or levitate or be in the confessional for 18 hours straight. Don't. It's that we let our desires run away with us. Instead of choosing to be present, instead of choosing to love here and now, instead of choosing to pray even when we don't know why, or it's hard, or we don't feel like we're hearing the voice of God. Every vocation is a choice to love. Parents, babies are fun sometimes until they're screaming at you 3 or 4 times throughout the night wanting you to get up, and you never get to sleep for about, if you got one kid, maybe 2 years, and then, you know, if there's more, you could go a good decade without sleeping through the night. That's hard. That's a choice to love that child each and every night. And then once you finally maybe get caught up on a little bit of sleep, they turn into a monster in their teenage years, and it doesn't matter what you do, but they're going to be screaming and dramatic and all of that. And yet you love them. You don't cut off their food or kick them out usually, unless you need to teach them a lesson for a day or two. But that's a choice. Marriage is a choice. I get flack for this sometimes, but I don't believe that there is only one person, your soulmate, that you were ever intended for, because that's not the kind of love we talk about as Christians. It's a choice to love that person for the rest of your life. And you have to make that choice every day. And it doesn't matter who you are, there's going to be ups and downs, conflicts, struggles, challenges, crises. Every marriage has them. It's my favorite part of marriage prep is the class where I get to sit down and go through all the ways this could go horribly wrong. Just because I want them to be aware, one of these will likely happen to you. But what do you do in those moments where it's hard? Do you walk away? Or do you choose to stay with them? Jesus is that great example of fidelity to his people in the midst of everything. When they're not reciprocating the love, when they're going astray, when they're pulling their teenage years and making molten calves out of gold and all this stuff, God doesn't abandon his people. He shows us what it means to love. To forgive, because we need it. For all the times we have to forgive others, think of how much God has to forgive us. And he does it. He came and taught us what we needed to know, which was him. We needed to learn who he was to earn our way to heaven, to try and come close. He paid a price we couldn't pay with his own life. He became a mortal being, lowered himself humbly to die on a cross as the supreme God of the universe. That's our way to holiness. Our way to holiness is to choose to be faithful even when nobody else is. Our way to holiness is to sacrifice for the people we care about even when they don't appreciate it. That's what it means to love. And what that looks like for you, I don't know. God knows. And you might know. But I can't tell you. No saint is going to give you the perfect roadmap for you to follow. Priesthood looks different for every priest, depending on what parishes they're put in. Married couples deal with different issues, different personalities in their kids, different struggles. Every single one of them looks different. But we're all called to be holy. And supporting each other in that vocation is huge. We have a community of faith for a reason. God's call is not individual. For any one of us, whether he's calling you to married life or single life or the priesthood, it's not an individual call. I didn't say, I want to be a priest, and go sign up, and they say, great, you're a guy, you've got a pulse, here you go, go be a priest. Like, no, the church discerned with me if they wanted me to be a priest. God bless them for that. It only took them 7 years. But marriage is the same way. We have to support each other. I think Father Aaron will point to some great spiritual friends as well. He's always obsessed with LaSalle and Jane DeChantel and all these saints that were friends. And they support each other. They talked about it. And they called each other out to holiness too. One of my favorites is St. Benedict and his sister Scholastica. And they're having these great theological discussions late into the night. And he doesn't want to stop. He wants her to stay. He appreciates having her there. And she says, no, I have to leave. I have to go back to my monastery. And she dies. And that's the last time he sees her alive. But it wasn't like he knew exactly what to do in every moment either. He thought something good was going on. He wanted it. And she had to challenge him and say, no, I'm responsible to them too. I need to be a part of my community. We as a community of faith, as a parish, should be helping each other through those moments of struggle, calling each other to be better, and inspiring one another with the small ways that we're growing in holy, not through boasting and other things, but are we supporting people? Are those of you who are married and have fairly good marriages, figured most of it out, you're still going after all these years, taking younger couples under your wing, giving them encouragement, trying to help them when they're struggling, that's a great gift. And that's what saints do for one another all the time. Paul, his letters are incessant, but he's always saying, I pray for you always. I'm praying for you as the holy ones. I can't be with you now, but I am thinking of you, and you're near and dear to my heart. Do we pray for others in their vocation too? It can be so easy to get caught up in the I on my way to holiness. I have to do this. I have to be better at this. I have to go to confession a lot more than I am. I need to go to the Eucharist 3 times a day. You know, we can make it all about what I have to do to be holy. But every vocation is a vocation of love. It's not about you. It's about those other people. And so learning to pray for them, first and foremost, is huge in your vocation. The promises of my staff was just giving me a hard time about this the other day. They were asking about whether priests have to say Mass every day. The answer is no, they don't. It's not one of the promises they take at ordination. But they do take a promise to pray for the people of God with the Liturgy of the Hours 5 times every day. That's huge. I tell husbands and wives or couples when they're coming in for marriage prep, there's all sorts of different kinds of intimacy. Emotional, intellectual, physical. There's a spiritual one too. It's the one I see missing most often. Because they can't learn to pray together. Because that's sacred ground. I don't want to open that part of myself up to another person. And they might go to Mass together. They might pray individually. But how often you sit down with your spouse and just out loud to the Lord, Pray about what's on your heart. That's a beautiful thing. That allows them to see what your concerns are, to be there to support and love you in those things that they might not even know you're struggling with, and to lift you up in prayer. What a great gift. And if more couples did that, I guarantee you there would be a lot less counselors needed in this world. Praying for one another is huge as we strive together as a Christian family for faith. And it's all about humility. It's all about humility. The litany of humility is one of the best prayers out there, in my opinion. Humility is doing what's asked of you in that situation. It's acknowledging the gifts and talents that God has given you and using them as they're asked. It's not about self-effacement and saying, oh, I'm dirt or anything else. That's false humility. God looked at you and said, it is very good. He didn't create dirt. Well, he did, but he didn't create you as dirt, right? You're worth more than that. You're made in his image and likeness. It's not just to make you miserable. That's not what humility is about. To know your limits, yes. I'm not God. I can't do everything, and I do need to sleep once in a while. That's realistic. Humility is being grounded in the here and now and responding to what's asked of you and not seeking glory for it. You know, I lived in Rome for 4 years, and I got driven nuts by the news media, and what was going on over there was not what they were reporting and all these things. But sometimes it's hard, even for holy people. Pope Francis has, you know, been attributed as one of the most humble popes because he eschews some of the trappings and the things like that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But there were a couple times it drove me nuts. And I want to give you one example. Pope Francis needed new glasses. And he didn't want to make somebody else go get his glasses or make them come to him. He wanted to be a normal human being and be able to go run an errand. And so he decided he was going to go get his glasses himself. Problem is, Christ's vicar on earth, the supreme pontiff, Bishop of Rome, is not a normal human being. He shut down half the city of Rome for 4 hours to go get his glasses. I don't want to say the Pope was, he was trying to be humble in that, right? He wants to live a normal life, and that's a good desire. But what is your responsibility to other people around you in a moment like that, right? It's hard to like let ourselves be taken care of sometimes in circumstances like that, but it might be the best thing. I'm not casting judgment on it. I was just frustrated that I couldn't get home that day. But what is your position asking of you? Sometimes it is to allow yourself to be cared for. Sometimes it is to put yourself front and center. You can be humble and do that. Honestly, I hate this part of my job, standing up in front of people and talking. And it is a big part of my job. It was my worst fear through all of high school. I did speech to make myself be able to do speech. But the first year, I was afraid and shaking and fumbling my words, and it took a lot of work. I spent all of my time in high school in the back of the theater with the lights and sound and backstage building sets where no one would ever see me. I wouldn't even test my own microphones because I hated the sound of my voice. I would make somebody else test it while I was tweaking it. I don't like being up in front of people. And yet God, for some inexplicable reason, called me to be a priest and said, every day you're going to give a homily. And I do it. Still don't like it. I think that's a huge part of being a saint for us, is what are those things that you don't like that you're being called to do that God wants of you? None of us is going to be able to do exactly what we want in every circumstance, in every situation. Humility is accepting those, whether it's our limitations or what is asked of us when our gifts match to it, even when we don't want to use them. I have been trying for decades now to stop doing lights and sound, but every parish I've been at and every seminary has made me do it as well. It's something I can do. And it's a gift that keeps being asked, and so we give. Another part about being holy is this weekend's readings. Mercy. None of the saints were perfect. Even at their deaths, I dare say many of them probably still ended up in purgatory for about 15 seconds on defrost, right? They all went to confession. It is so easy to get trapped in the lie of, I'm a sinner so I can't be a saint, that we stop trying. And it kills way too many people. This paralysis of that can't be me. Look at St. Paul in his writings. Jesus came to him, called me, though as one born abnormally. He talks to this weekend in the readings about the supreme mercy he'd been shown through his own ignorance, that he didn't know what he was doing and was sinning, and yet God showed him mercy, and he becomes this great saint, founding community after community and with writings that continue to inspire and encourage us to this day. If I were Paul, knocked off my feet on the road to Damascus and had to be taken care of and really encounter the God who I'd been persecuting for years, I probably would do what I'm doing next week and go to a hermitage and just check out. I can't preach in front of people because I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Well, guess what? None of the saints did. They're not Jesus Christ. They are not God. They are sinners too, except for Mary. But they made mistakes. Paul writes of the thorn in the flesh. St. Francis of Assisi struggled with it as well. St. Padre Pio suffered those terrible temptations all the time. And they're still saints. Living that journey to being a saint, your vocation to be holier, means that you're holier from this moment to the next. And it doesn't mean that you are going to get it right all the time. But if we let the past, which is gone, and if you've gone to confession, it's really gone. Like, Jesus wiped that stuff out. So stop thinking about it. Allow his mercy to seep into you and say, I choose to do better now. That's what holiness is about, is choosing moment after moment in the reality and with humility of this situation, what God is asking of me, I'm going to do his will. I'm going to love this person who's difficult to love. I'm going to forgive this person who's wronged me. I'm going to serve the poor. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. If we do that moment after moment, we will be holier and we'll be different. We won't be saint anybody other than ourselves. And so, yeah, look to the saints. Be inspired by them. Their willingness to lay down their life, their desires for prayer, you know, their spirituality, that's great. But don't be them. Because that's not who God has called you to be. Your vocation is to be St. Mr. Tom Copa or St. Bernie Schnaufer, or whoever. But you can't be St. Peter. You can't be the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you try, you'll knock yourself off that road to holiness because you're not listening to what God wants for you. Pay attention to the moment, the here and now, and apply the same principles that the saints have applied throughout the ages. It is the only way that you will become a saint as well. Listening to the voice of God in scripture, in prayer, in divine revelation, and applying it to your life in this moment. Choosing to love. Choosing again and again and again. Forget the past. Don't dream about the future. Live for God now. That's how you become a saint. Like I threw out a few books there for reading, and I highly recommend them. Band of Divine Providence is one of my personal favorites. The Soul of the Apostolate, Rooting Yourself in Prayer. If you're going to do active works, you can't have one without the other. Mother Teresa showed that so clearly. And then Gaudete et Exultate, which is, I believe, a apostolic exhortation to young people after the Synod on the Young People, but from Pope Francis, is wonderful. We need new saints. We don't need to recycle the old ones. So be who God made you to be and help others to do the same. So that's what I have for you tonight. I'll take some questions. I know that Father Aaron has picked a topic for next month, but he has not chosen a name yet. And I don't quite know where he's going with this, but I think he's been watching too much History Channel. He's going to talk something about aliens. I don't know if they're ancient or what, but Father Aaron's going to talk about what the impact of extraterrestrial life would have on the Catholic faith. So,
wow. Wow.
Out of this world.
Yeah. God bless him. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I listen to the KMK all day. And people call in, and really, they're sometimes American sound like such train wrecks. You can't be going to Mass. You can't be going to confession. You can't. Because they will drive you straight into the arms of the Mother. And if I've learned lately to offer everything up.
Yeah.
Once you do that, everything just kind of lifts away.
The cross, there's no way around it. There is no way to avoid your crosses. And they do sharpen you and make you holier if you bear them. If you try and avoid them, ignore them, run away from them, that they're not going to do their job. But those difficult people to love in our lives, whether it's families or husbands or whoever, they, yeah, absolutely can make us holier if we choose, right? If we choose to stick with it. It is a huge problem in our society in so many ways that our instinct is to run. We don't fight for much anymore. So many people don't fight for marriages. They don't get help. They just divorce too quickly. Changing jobs when it gets hard. You know, I'm moving to another city or whatever. We run from things, and it's so easy to do. But sticking with it is sometimes so worth it. That's what God's calling us to do, is love in those difficult situations, not to run away from them.
Father, we have our evangelization Bible study starting tomorrow, and I was thinking as you were speaking about paying attention to God's voice each moment. Mm-hmm. And I can think of numerous occasions when I have walked the other way from somebody, something, when I feel God was maybe calling me to stop, and you know, and whatever came from that, I don't know, because I didn't follow through. And so I was one, you know, thinking that maybe that's what you were getting at, that sometimes these are occasions for evangelization and we skip them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Evangelization, vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, not volare, that's a good song, but vocare, to call. God has called you to something. He's called you to be a saint. He's called you to marriage. He's called you to priesthood. He's called you to single life. He's called you to religious life. If he's calling, the only way you can answer is if you listen. Discerning has to include listening to the voice of God. And especially in evangelization, so many evangelists fail because they're not listening. They're talking at people. They think they know what your problem is before you've had a chance to voice it, or what your concern or stumbling block is. You can't speak to their heart if you haven't heard it. Listening is huge. that time for silence, prayer, discernment. You can't do anything in the Christian life without it. So I'm going on retreat next week. No people, just God. Any other comments or questions? Well, thank you for being here tonight, the faithful remnant, during the football night. I know it's a big night, and I'm glad to have so many of you here. And a word of encouragement, I was talking to another priest recently, and he was asking what we're doing here, because he sees that fruit is coming out of our parish, and it's a good thing. And I was telling him about coffee and Catholicism, and he said, "Can I do that?" I said, "Yes. It's not copyrighted. We don't have anything trademarked. You have coffee, you got some snacks, and people come and you talk about stuff." And so there's another one starting up in the Archdiocese, a couple hours away from here now, because of what's going on here tonight. So they're looking at our topics, they're looking at what we've done, and it is spreading. So I'm really glad to tell you, I think it's bearing fruit here, but also throughout the Archdiocese. So thanks for Tom and Deb and everybody that's helped organize it over the years to make us good coffee and snacks and everything else. And for you coming, because it's spreading. And I'm so happy to hear that it's bearing fruit. And, you know, we don't get royalties, but the name's out there too. So it's a good thing. Let's close with prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.